Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you are indeed listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. Hey everybody, it's Marcus here. Welcome to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. It is June 8th, 2011. Now, here at the Good E-Reader Radio Show, there's been a lot happening in the last few days, and we thought we'd sum up most of the most important news for you. In Good E-Reader land, there's a few new developments, and we'll start to show off with just some new things that we're going to be offering. If you're not on our newsletter yet, I suggest you get signed up for it. Every month and at the end of every Sunday of every week, we give you the weekend review in newsletter edition. So this is usually about 6 or 7 stories, mainly just the essential stories that all this new stuff here agree are the most important events that really happen, you know, on a week-to-week basis. As you know, I mean, if you follow tech blogs, digital publishing, e-readers, e-books, there's a lot of content, you know. Generally in our blog, we write close to about 10, 12 new articles a day, and this is including interviews with some high-profile companies, high-profile authors, and a Good E-Reader traveling all over the world going to various conventions. In our last broadcast, we mentioned that we were in Taipei, Taiwan for a week, and we were covering Computex. And in September, we're going to be going to IFA, and this is in Berlin, Germany. IFA is pretty well the equivalent of Computex or the Consumer Electronics Show, but it is the largest one that happens in Europe. And we definitely met a lot of really great European friends when we were at Computex. I wanted to give a particular shout out to the boys at Texter that have certainly been doing a lot of app development and facilitating the relationships between stores and online commerce. So I'm really happy with those guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing them again at IFA, as well as Pixel Kui, John and Mary. Be nice to see them again there as well. So with the Good E-Reader, some of the new things that have happened during the last week is we're officially listed in the BlackBerry podcast directory. Now, it's not the easiest to get on there, but through a lengthy application process, our radio show is now available on any type of BlackBerry smartphone, the BlackBerry Playbook. So all you really need is the BlackBerry Play, the podcasting software. Most of it should just come on your phones as you buy them. If you have an older phone, you might have to just go to App World and download them. There's tons of podcasts that you can do there. We recommend, if you want to find us, because they don't really give you direct links, so I would probably recommend to download the podcasting software if you don't already have it. There's a search field at the top. Type Good E-Reader, so the word good, space, e-hyphen reader. And if you do that, ours should be the first one that pops up, and there should be about 20 episodes in there. We didn't used to do them a whole lot, but we are doing them a lot now, because with so much news, it's really nice to be able to just listen to a voice that just gives you the most important news of the day, the week, or breaking news updates. It's something that we feel that sometimes an article just can't do. And we know a lot of people are in a gym, they're running, they're walking their dog. And why listen audiobook when you can listen to the scintillating Marcus that touches all your senses in all of the right way? So, firstly, we are also available, and we have been available for a while, on iTunes. So in this podcast episode today, you can find out our iTunes channel. Of course, it's always available on the left-hand corner or the right-hand corner of our blog, as well as our YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter groups, and things like that. So if you want to befriend us. We always love new friends from the community, both industry professionals and just casual aficionados. Let's take a look at some of the things, the stories that are breaking. Just in the last few hours, basically, it looks like Best Buy is going to be putting on sale in downtown New York. They have roughly about 300 to 500 Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 inches, and they have done a pre-order button on their website. So if you go visit their website, you will see a pre-order button there. But there's a lot of sort of the major metropolis, the urban centers, you know, the type of places that always get stuff first. So we played with the 10.1 inch when we were at Computex, and I was really amazed for a few ways. The design's really slick. It is very, very light, and it looks really polished. If, you know, they sell this for, I would say if it's under $600, it's going to be a steal of the deal, considering it's 10.1 inches, a fast processor, you have all the RAM and internal space that you need, and there's, for whatever space that you don't need, there's so many cloud services out there. I know, you know, Apple just launched theirs yesterday called iCloud, and it mainly just works on Apple devices, but Google and Amazon both launched cloud services themselves, and then you have little companies offering cloud services like Asus and stuff like that. So there's always services where, say, my playbook that I have here, it's only 16 gigs. I have my iPad, it's only 16 gigs. It's not really a whole lot to hold all my podcasts, audio, video, even my pictures would, just pictures alone would take it all up. So I definitely am a fan of holding things in the cloud or using programs like Dropbox in order to basically share things off-site. But the nice thing about it is that I could actually access it with different computers. So that's one of the reasons why I don't always carry my iPad around with me everywhere, because as soon as I plug it into someone else's computer, it usually prompts me to delete everything on it and re-register with another device, something I don't really like to do. So usually when I'm traveling about and I know I'm going to run into friends, I'm always bringing sort of my playbook or, you know, various low-budget tablets such as the Velocity Cruise and whatever Pen Digitals or Entourage Edge Pocket Edges I have lying around. Being a reviewer, sometimes I'm blessed with a ton of tablets around, but sometimes that gives me a little bit of a jaded personality because I see so many are so weak, and then a few good ones come along, and I think, why does everybody buy all the other things? But yeah, who am I to tell you what to buy? Don't listen to me. My purpose of all these shows, as well as the Goody Reader mandate when we write articles, is to not bash a product needlessly, not to compliment a product needlessly, but to more or less just give you how we see it and a more or less a complete unbiased response on the tech. What does it have? What doesn't it have? What is it comparable to? And usually we give ratings. If we think something really sucks and is not worth your money, we're going to tell you that. But we always like you to make your own judgment calls. Obviously, being a news source, it's not all the time about our opinion. It's about you forming your own opinion. So Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 is going to be on sale in New York today, but the pre-order buttons just went up on the website, so you can get your pre-order on and start getting some good tablets. Speaking of good tablets, the unlocked Dell Streak 7 4G is now available for $449. It's not too bad. The Dell Streak is the brother to the Dell Mini 5 that came out last year. It has Android 2.2 right now. You know, 16 gigs of storage. It has a front and rear facing webcam, 1 megapixel at the front, 5 at the back, and has a NVIDIA Tegra 2 heart, and the resolution is about 800x40. It's not bad by any stretch of the means, but considering it's $449, there are probably a lot of tablets that are equally that much, such as the new HTC Evo 4G. That is going to be coming out very, very shortly. And it's going to be launched by Sprint. It's going to be the first carrier. It's called the HTC Flyer 7. And it's going to also be under the HTC Evo for the 4G brand name. So you have the H2 Flyer for mainly like Wi-Fi, and then the Evo for the 4G. The HTC tablet is $399, so it's actually cheaper than the Dell Streak 7. Though it involves signing a 2-year contract, but if you do, you get a $50 Sprint gift card at any participating store, so you can buy accessories and things like that, but you have to do it before June 21st. There are some, you know, if you want to buy a digital pen, like for the capacitive screen, it's about $79 that they're going to be offering it. They're offering four packages anywhere between $10 a month, $299 a day, you know, access Wi-Fi hotspots for free anywhere on that network. As far as data goes, you're looking at anywhere between $29 a month to about $34 a month. If you get the $34 a month version on the HTC Evo, the 4G, you're pretty well getting a not bad, you know, little package with that. You're getting about 3 gigs per month on it. So it's usually enough for most people's content, unless you're just a total download fiend. Evo 4G looks pretty good. It's 1.5 gigahertz dual single core Qualcomm Snapdragon processor, 7-inch screen, 1024 by 600 pixel resolution. It also has one of my favorite types of screen, which is the capacitive touchscreen display. So it doesn't have that weird filament or resistive film that kind of like makes colors really weak. It doesn't come honeycomb out of the box, but it will have gingerbread 2.3, and Sprint has said that it will bring on honeycomb within, you know, a few weeks of the tablet launch. In other news, we are happy to see a few e-readers making headlines. The first one is the Kobo Touch. Now, this is the Kobo Touch, the very new one. It actually uses infrared as far as you being able to interact with the device. So it'll give you a much easier time to be able to interact with things. Things will actually look a little bit crisper because they're using a new type of screen. They're using E-Ink Pearl, which E-Ink Pearl is the same type of display that you would see on Amazon Kindle or on a Sony 650. And most of those screens, very well. It is the Kobo's first full touchscreen e-reader. Pretty happy with that. We actually saw it live at Book Expo America 2011. And so in New York, we actually got an exclusive interview with Michael Cerbanus, and he's the CEO of Kobo. We talked to him about the Kobo, how the Nook 2, which was launched in the same week, how that affected him as a company, and what does he see his advantage having over theirs and theirs over his. So he was pretty candid in giving us about a 10-minute interview. He also gave us some really good information on articles we have not written about yet, but are on very important, such as Kobo is going to be implementing book lending, so similar to Barnes & Noble and Amazon has done for the book lending service. They're actually going to get involved in that as well, and they're also going to be putting together an independent publishing program. So this is similar to CreateSpace, to Barnes & Noble Pubit, to Smashwords. It's the type of place that you can go to where you can self-publish and they'll distribute your books for you. So Kobo has 2.2 million books. Their user base is growing cumulatively with every major vendor relationship that they make. And just to give you a little bit of history, they have exclusive partnerships with the Samsung Galaxy Tab. They had the Reader's Hub on there, which is basically a Kobo portal. They have a relationship with Research in Motion with BlackBerry. So Kobo's the e-reader of choice. And you do see a lot of other sort of tablets come out, especially when they have both an American and a Canadian version. They often have Kobo. So let's take the Penn Digital Novel, for instance, the latest 9-inch one. When that was in the U.S., it came with the Borders app. But when it was shipped in Canada, it was actually shipped with the Kobo app. So Kobo is definitely making inroads to get a lot of market share. So were you going to ask, do you get the Kobo Touch? Well, June 19th at Borders, of all places, they will be able to ship the new e-reader, where if you live in Canada, you're probably still going to have to wait to Father's Day to about the end of the month in order to get your hands on these. So we're hoping to get our hands on sooner. We have a decent relationship with Borders in the States, so hopefully we'll be able to get a few of them up here a little bit more quicker so we can do some great hands-on review. I'm a big fan of Kobo, as you probably can realize so far. Their new touchscreen e-reader does look a little bit better than Nook Color, just because it has more features available on it. There is a new e-reader coming out. It's called the Ryko eQuill Tablet, and it's mainly designed to be all business. So it's an e-writer solution. The device functions as a business-class tablet, almost like an electronic clipboard of sorts, packed with features that seek to eliminate the need for paper, which is an interesting development given that Ryko's product line is still dominated by copier and fax machines. So they want to kind of help reduce the carbon footprint, because these guys deal in like printers and fax machines, things that take a lot of energy. They're bulky, they do take an abysmally large number of paper, so them getting into the e-reader field helps make the company get a little bit more green and, hopefully may increase, their profile and image, and hey, it may catch on, you never know. You're looking at battery life giving you about 20 hours. It will authenticate signatures by date, time, biometric keystroke recognition. It'll offer some measure of data theft and, author protection, so you might need to do some sort of retain scan. It kind of looks like the real deal as far as tablets and tablets that are billed as e-readers go, with a total e-reader type paper design. I would say maybe the closest combination I'd be able to say is the Asus EEE Note. This looks like a lot like that. It's price pointed at about $50, so I keep an eye out for that. BlackBerry just released an upgrade firmware of the Playbook today, so it got to 1.0.15. It did a few things basically, and it greatly enhanced Facebook, so you can actually do video uploading, message deletion, Facebook searches, and a lot more. You can also do in-app payments for App World, so you can buy gold in-game, levels in-game, you can buy magazines, ebooks, and a lot of future possibilities. There's a new product payment API for developers that was released, so you developers that are onto BlackBerry and things like that, you may want to check that out. Finally, there was some additional language support for customers in the European market. It recognizes hotspots automatically now, and it does give you some extra volume boost if you're wearing headphones. Let's give you some of the news that's happened in the last few days, and then at the end of the show, I'm going to let you know sort of the Gritty Reader essential reads that you want to be reading for this summer. First of all, DC will now bring its original heroes into the digital age. So in the past, we've posted about the frustration of many graphic novelists, both famous and not famous, about the lack of titles in the fiction market. If you go to the Barnes & Noble market, their graphic novel repertoire is just abysmal. It's seriously just like a barren post-apocalyptic wasteland where there's nothing in miles, and yeah, totally awful. But it looks like that DC Comics, the longtime masterminds between the League, Justice League superheroes, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and many more, are re-releasing 52 of their original titles as early as August 31st. And so you'll be able to get things for free, 99 cents to about $1.99 for the most current type of stuff. No really sort of weird on what timelines that they're doing it, but we're thinking that they're going to be sort of doing a bit of a reboot for it, to bring it up to, the current age. If you don't know DC Comics, there was a major event that happened that only three people really remembered, and it kind of allowed the DC Comics universe to kind of start again, but still there's a few characters that kind of really know what's going on, so that might play into the whole thing. Also, the Financial Times launched a browser-based app. This was more or less designed for the iPad, the iPod, and so on. It is built using HTML5 technology, and it features continual and automatic content downloads and improvements, and drives and pushes that stuff. So if you have it as an app or as a browser-based add-on, everything new is automatically pushed to you. You don't really have to like manually sync or anything like that, which is super good. The one reason a big company like the Financial Times decided to do this rather than just be listed on the App Store themselves is because, you know Apple with their new policy. If you want to sell digital content like newspapers, subscriptions, rebills, WoW Gold, or anything like that, Apple actually handles the transactions now. And they take a cut, but most importantly, they don't provide you with demographics, analytical type of information. So, say you sell a magazine, and in magazines, you can afford to sell it cheaply because you have advertisers. Those advertisers pay $1,000, $5,000, a few hundred, or a lot more for ad space in your magazine. And if you're not being able to tell your magazine anymore, we sold this many this month, ages 13 to 14, 18 to 32 female, we sold this to males 18 to 25, we sold this. Apple doesn't provide you with that sort of the statistical analysis of it. So this is sort of why you're going to see more major companies do sort of HTML5 pages on their own that can be actually read by iPads, they can be read by Android tablets that can't read Flash, and so HTML5 is sort of like the new industry standard that almost all devices can read. So it was pretty cool for them to actually do it. They said in the near future they're going to be able to add smartphone and Android support. So you can expect Motorola, Zoom, and a bunch of other Android tablets having the feature to do this now. They basically just set this up. We had a cool video on it, right on our front page. So if you want to see what's new with a new magazine publication service, please feel free. Some of the big news that just happened yesterday was Suzanne Collins and Lee Child joined the seminal 1 million ebooks sold club on Amazon. They recently joined Charlene Harris, who had sold 1 million books about a month ago. She was the fourth author to do this. So today we have the fifth and sixth authors to do this. And this is, again, Lee Child and Suzanne Collins. Child and Collins joined Stieg Larsson, James Patterson, Nora Roberts, and Charlene Harris in the Kindle Million Club. The club represents over 1 million paid ebooks sold via Amazon store that caters to the Kindle line of e-readers. Now, Lee Child is best known for his Jack Reacher, Repairman Jack, series of books. Books like Worth Dying For, 61 Hours, Gone Tomorrow, Nothing to Lose, Bad Luck and Trouble, and The Hard Way, along with his debut, The Killing Floor, won both the Anthony and Barry Awards for the Best First Mystery, and The Enemy won both the Barry and Nero Awards for the Best Novel. All of Child's books have been optioned for major pictures, so although not many of them have been made into pictures, but if everyone's kind of jumping all over his books about, let's make a great film, let's buy the option. He's like, okay, it's more money in my pocket. Suzanne Collins started writing children's literature with the best-selling middle grade series, The Underline Chronicles, and then she continued to explore the effects of war and violence. She's had a few award winners and bestsellers, such as the Hunger Games trilogy, which appealed both to teen readers and adults. The Hunger Games, which was first published in 2008, and has appeared on the New York Times bestseller list for more than 140 consecutive weeks since publication. Mockingjay, the final book in the Hunger Games trilogy, was the Amazon top 10 customer favorite for both print and Kindle books in 2010. So, right at the top, not too bad at all. If you didn't hear, there was a big Apple keynote speech the other day. They debuted iCloud. iCloud is just basically a way to store up to 5 gigs for free if you've bought your music from iTunes, and you can store both documents, audio, and, you know, a few other pieces of content on there. What it basically does is scan your computer, then push the content into the cloud. So unlike Amazon or Google's, we have to kind of select the things one by one that you want to do. And, it, you know, with the other services, you know, if you're uploading a music file that you just downloaded from the internet, they're going to shut it off. Whereas Apple, you can upload any music you want, but if it's a non-iTunes purchased music file, you pay $29.99 a month, or a year rather, and you can have access to 6 gigs. So it's not too bad. I see this ultimately benefiting people that have really small iPods, really small iPhones, or people that only bought the 16 gig version of the iPad and, you know, filled it up with a few movies, a few music, a few pictures, and, you know, boom, it's full, right? So this gives you an adequate amount of storage, because as we all know, the Apple iPad and most Apple devices, they don't support external storage. So this has been a lot of the news that's happened this week. The last little bit of news is Apple has confirmed they sold 25 million iPads so far. So this has been since, from the 14 months since the first iPad went on sale, and it made the iPad the first mass-produced tablet PC in the world, therefore by opening an entirely new segment for the others to play catch-up on. So you may have noticed that, you know, after the tab, you know, the iPad came out, you know, no one really caught up to them fast. I think Samsung with their Galaxy Tab was mainly the first big tab to come out, and it posed a little bit of competition, but it wasn't really to this year when Honeycomb came out. Is, you know, Motorola, LG, you know, HTC, all, you know, Acer, Asus, they're all putting out tablets now, but it almost looks like that Apple's cornerstone to market. You know, they've had so much time to kind of develop their own ecosystem a year before they even had any competition, that it's going to be kind of daunting for tablets to come along and kind of usurp their market position. Only time will tell, after all. There is some cool Sony dual screen tablets, clamshell tablets, and they're at the FCC right now, so it's not going to be too far away from when we've seen them. They're actually running two different ones right now. You know, they'll have all the usuals like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, it'll support AT&T's 3G broadband network, and it's rumored to support the 21 megabits per second HSPA plus wireless networks. So they're making sort of two tablets, the S2 and I believe the S1. They're pretty cool. Check out our blog. It's pretty cool. I don't want to give you guys all these like kind of specs because they all kind of run together after a while. But yeah, full specs on our site. Check it out. We want to end this show off today with just giving you some of the best ebooks of 2012. Summer kind of here. It's kind of here in some places and kind of here, not here in other places. It was definitely feeling like summer in Taipei, and then it came back to Vancouver, BC, and it went from 45 degrees out to about 12, and needless to say, I was used to heat, not cold again, so it's taking me some adjustment to get used to it. But let's hit this off with, ironically enough, a book named Hit List. And this is Laurel K. Hamilton, and this is the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series, book 12. It's on June 7th. It's, you know, the usual. Moving on, the Kingdom by Clive Cussler, also out on the 7th. It's a husband and wife team, Sam and Remy Fargo, are used to hunting treasures, but they aren't used to hunting for people until an investigator friend goes missing and they promise to search for him. When did they discover, however, what would be on anything they could have imagined? Dun 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 dun. On that journey, we'll take them to Tibet, Nepal, China, Italy, and Siberia. All excellent non-tropical destinations. The Fargos will find themselves embroiled with black market fossils, an ancient Tibetan kingdom, a lost landmass in the North Sea, Stone Age ostrich eggs, shards inscribed in cryptic languages, a pair of battles separated by thousands of miles and hundreds of years, and a skeleton that could just turn the history of human evolution on its head. Wow, that's packing a lot of things. Could be good. John Grisham has written a follow-up to his first book, which is Theodore Boone, Kid Lawyer. This is Theodore Boone, The Abduction, and again, John Grisham. June 7th is the release date. When we last saw Theo Boone, he uncovered key evidence in a landmark murder trial, ensuring that justice was served. And when it seemed like life was about to get back to the status quo, a new mystery comes to town, and Theo is the only one who can crack the case. With all the action, intrigue, and heart that we had come to expect from the undisputed master of legal thriller, his continuing adventures of Theodore Boone will capture readers of all ages, and by all ages, I think, under the age of 16. There's also a compilation series coming out on the 7th as well. It's called Chicks Kick Butt, and the main author was Rachel Kane. And so this anthology, you know, Rachel Vincent, L.A. Banks, you know, it's basically like the who's who of the paranormal world. So it's just a series of books there. There is a new book by Elizabeth Chadwick. This is also June 7th, called The Leopard Unleashed. A historical type of romance type of book. Kate Blanche is the name of the new James Bond novel by Jeffrey Deaver, who has written a number of books and may be up to the challenge. He certainly has cut his teeth, to say the least, writing very numerous books over the year. And most of these books people absolutely adore. I can't think of any offhand, but I know that Jeffrey Deaver, when we used to have book clubs at Goody Reader last year, I know Jeffrey Deaver's name always came up. Alright, I merely Googled it, and I found out that he's pretty well known for the Lincoln Rhyme series of books. His most popular books lately, The Burning Wire, The Broken Window, Cold Moon. He's done a few other series besides the Lincoln Rhyme. But it looks like The Bone Collector, which was, I believe that the Bone Collector, which was features a quadriplegic, was actually made into a movie with, I believe that the quadriplegic, he was a detective, and I want to say it was the dude from Training Day. He won an Oscar. It's at the tip of my tongue. You guys are probably all screaming it at me right now, so I wish I was a mind reader at this point. I think his name started with M. In any case, let's get back to the topic at hand, talking about books coming out this month. So, new James Bond movie. Deaver, as fans of his Lincoln Rhyme, Catherine Dance thrillers would expect, has clearly done his homework. The most impressive feature of Carte Blanche is the ingenuity and a breathless, bloodthirsty plot. A master misdirection, Deaver manufactures more surprises than anyone flogging an old warhorse could be expected to produce. Many people, you know, since the original, a guy who wrote it, stopped, you know, Kingsley Amis, John Gardner, Sebastian Foulkes, are all among those who tried to bring Bond back to life, although Deaver is in a class of his own, and some of the reviews are saying so far that nobody's done it better so far. One of the last novels I wanted to talk to you about was not a book coming out to June 21st, and it's called Smoking 17, and it's a Stephanie Plum novel by Janet Ivanovich. I could definitely foresee a few more writers breaking the million club, and she's probably one of them that I could see, along with L.J. Smith, very soon. Premise: dead bodies are showing up in shallow graves on an empty construction lot in Vincent Plum Bale Bonds. And no one is sure who the killer is or why the victims have been offed, but what's clear is that Stephanie's name is on the killer's list. Oh no. Short on time to find evidence providing the killer's identity, Stephanie faces further complications with her family and friends, and it's time to choose between her longtime on-again, off-and-on boyfriend, Joe Morey, who's a cop, and the bad boy of her life, security expert Ranger. Stephanie's mom is encouraging Stephanie to dump them both and choose former high school football star who's just returned to town. Boys, boys, boys everywhere. So, yeah, if you're a fan of her series, it's basically more of the same. The last bit of news that I want to get into for the day is, since we're on the subject of ebooks, Kobo has officially taken over Borders' ebook business. Now, this is huge because Borders for the longest time has been selling ebooks, while Kobo has been selling ebooks as well. I think the main reason why sort of Borders succeeded and said, okay, Kobo, you take over, was just, it's Kobo's mission to sell ebooks. That's like what they do. They have so many great apps for, their iPad app is heralded as the best e-reading app really out there right now. It gives you achievements for reading. You can like Twitter from actual characters like in the book, so it's just not you tweeting, but it's like the characters in the book can actually get socially interactive as well. It tracks your reading habits, it gives you statistics, tells you how long it took you to read a book, encourages you to read faster. If you have an iPad and you haven't checked out Kobo's Reading Life, really check that out. It's probably my favorite reading app out there. I don't buy a lot of books from Kobo, but it is a deadly app. So, if you've bought books from, or if you've purchased books from Borders before, there are step-by-step tutorials on how to migrate your books to the Kobo ecosystem. You don't have to pay, but Kobo will honor your existing book purchases and copy them over for you. If you want to do it yourself, we do have a link on the post, and I believe this is on page 2 right now of our blog at goodyreader.com/blog. What Borders is doing, so they never made an e-reader, they made a bookstore, they gave it up, their retail chain is in hella trouble, their overseas investments are crashing. As you know, Borders had a majority interest in the Red Group and in White Cools and in a fair number of Australian New Zealand companies. They're all filing to receivership, all ready to kind of go bust. Borders is firing company staff all over North America. They are doing two new things. They're starting up a book club, and they're starting up a blog. So the book club on Borders is featuring The Story of a Beautiful Girl by Rachel Simon, and this is all throughout June. Miss Simon and the Borders team will provide the backstory of both the titles, such as the research she conducted while writing, to give readers a one-of-a-kind book club experience. At the end of the month, Borders will host a Facebook chat with Miss Simon, giving fans an opportunity to ask questions and engage her on the book. This sounds a lot like Barnes & Noble's Puppet program, which they're going to be doing another event. If not, they've just done it already, I think. And they more or less get their authors, but actually put them in the Barnes & Noble stores so people can actually go and meet them in person. But they also do Facebook chats as well. The new other project is called the Borders Eccentric Reader Blog. Here, customers can enjoy something different every day of the week. Monday finds readers taking advantage of the Last Chance deal, which offers great savings on select ebooks. Tuesday features the newest ebook releases, while Wednesday and Thursday finds book lovers indulging in book trailers, author questions and answers, videos, musings by guest bloggers, and on Friday, customers can enjoy posts by guest authors and experts on a variety of engaging subjects. Sounds good, right? I mean, they're pumping out the content. It looks like they're really trying to build a community, but how are they going to make money from that? As a new service, they certainly can't charge for free. They're certainly going to have to pay these people to, you know, to schedule their time to come in and guest blog. You know, writers don't write for free, and it seems to me it's going to be a money pit unless they have some sort of master plan. But the way with the Borders strategy so far, it doesn't really look like they do have a master plan, and I say these dudes need as much cash flow as they can possibly get. So this has been a Goody Reader breaking news story, and we have talked about a few issues on ebooks coming up this month. We've also talked about the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 inch available in select places in New York City today. The pre-orders through the site are officially up. We've talked about HTC Evo and the 4G tablet launching very soon at respectable prices. Borders will be shipping the Kobo Touch June the 19th, while people in Canada may have to wait until Father's Day. We talked about the new eQuil business tablet, the BlackBerry update, and how DC Comics is bringing back original heroes, as well as the Financial Times launching a browser-based application. So hopefully you're listening to this Goody Reader radio show on the BlackBerry podcast. If you're not, check it out. It's certainly a way to keep us who are near and dear even more nearer and dearer to your heart. And this includes you people that have iDevices. You can use this to listen to us on iTunes. Of course, all of the links to all of our various channels are on the right-hand side of our blog. So you can befriend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, listen to us on iTunes, and you can read plenty of reviews that we've just did. Our next review, we're reviewing the LG Optimus. This is the new 3D tablet from LG. It's honeycomb. It's looking very sweet. We should have it by about the end of the week, so that'll be another nice hands-on with new e-readers. And again, for all of your e-reader needs, our show is sponsored now by Shop E-Readers, and you can visit their site at www.shopereaders.com. No hyphens, nothing, just one word. They have probably the widest selection of independent e-readers on any store. The one good thing about them is they ship internationally. If you live in the States, you enjoy a wide variety of Kindles being available at Best Buy and Walmart, and you can walk into any Barnes & Noble store and buy an e-reader. But if you live in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Europe, or South America, you have no options. Most of the time, Amazon won't ship to a lot of different countries. Barnes & Noble, with their e-readers, will not even ship outside of the U.S., and we have hard to get, or the Shop e-readers has hard to get e-readers like the Sony. They're also taking pre-orders for the Kobo Touch and the Nook 2. So if you do live outside the U.S. and you really want to get your hands on the best e-readers around, you know, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Kobo, those are pretty well the alpha e-readers at the moment. New ones pop up every time, but those are pretty well their best sellers. And whether you want to buy the 3G, the Wi-Fi, the Nook Color, or even the new Nook 2 with the Android device, Shop E-Readers has all of that. So again, check them out at shopereaders.com. All of their prices are very respectable, and they do have more than a few options for paying. I believe right now they do accept payment via PayPal, but soon they will be taking direct card processing. So we just wanted to give a shout-out to them. And now I'd like to give a shout-out to all of you great listeners today. My name is Marcus. You have been listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show, the definitive news authority on digital publishing, tablet and slate PCs, independent authors, ebooks, and everything that falls into that wide expanse of realm. So I will talk to you guys again tomorrow.